conference to help encourage and better equip rabbis for their ministry. And among the speakers were many well-known and dynamic speakers. One boldly approached the Bima and, gathering the entire crowd's attention, said, "The best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman that wasn't my wife." The crowd was shocked. He followed up by saying, "And that woman was my mother." And the crowd burst into laughter, and he delivered the rest of this talk, and it went over quite well. Well, the next week, Rabbi Irving decided he'd give this humor thing a try, and he'd use that joke in his sermon. So as he approached the Bima that Shabbat, he tried to rehearse the joke in his head, but it suddenly seemed a bit foggy to him. He didn't write it down, so getting to the microphone, he said loudly, "The greatest years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman that was not my wife." The congregation inhaled half the air out of the room. After standing there for almost 10 seconds in stunned silence and trying to recall the second half of the joke, the rabbi finally blurted out, "I can't remember who she was." I just really touched my heart to observe and participate in fathers blessing children and children blessing fathers today. And I want to encourage those of you who are fathers of adult children who are not here for you to bless your children tomorrow. It's supposed to be a day to be fathers to be blessed, but you should be blessing your children. And they give a call, speak a blessing to them if they're open to it, because it's a really special thing. And that's what we're going to talk about. Some of you here have living fathers who are not here today. How many of you have a living father who's not here today? Okay, and maybe you were wishing your father was here today to bless you. And some of you have fathers who have passed on, like me, and might be wishing your father was still alive. How many have fathers who have passed on? A lot of us. Wishing your father was here to bless you today. But there are others amongst us, and I would say not necessarily just a few, whose father is either alive or has passed on, might even have a hard time imagining your father blessing you. You don't have to raise your hands, because he was never a blessing in your life. Perhaps he left your mother, or she left him, and he wasn't around. Or maybe he was around, but he still wasn't much of a blessing to you. Maybe his interaction with you was even more of a curse than a blessing. Maybe he was cruel, abusive, demanding, judgmental, cold. And his behavior might have been intentional or unintentional. He maybe was ignorant of what he was doing. So for all of you today, the Holy Spirit directed me to bring a father's blessing to all of you today, okay? So we're going to put that first slide up there. This is the blessing from God. This is the traditional father's blessing, and I want you to just receive it. You all know it, so don't say it with me. Just receive it from the Lord himself as your father. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha vichonecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yachemlecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and place his peace within you. Amen. Now, a father can speak a blessing like I just did, but, you know, it's just empty words unless he is a blessing in his actions and in his attitudes. So how does a godly father enrich the life of his child or his adult children? I've got a checklist here for fathers. So all of us who are fathers, just observe this checklist. Love. You should be willing to sacrifice for your child and care more for your child than for yourself. Acceptance. You should love your child no matter what that child does or what the child's problems or handicaps are. Comfort. You should be there for your child when he or she is hurting or struggling. Provision. You should do all you can to meet your child's needs, spiritual, physical, educational, emotional. Protection. You should be ready to sacrifice your life to protect your child. Knowledge. You should teach your child the skills, the information he or she needs for this life. Mentoring. You should go beyond telling your child how to do things and coaching them to learn, him or her to learn. Encouragement. You should encourage your child to pursue his or her God-given passions or giftings. Wisdom. You should counsel your child to be able to make wise decisions. Opportunity. You should open the door for your child to learn or to flourish in their giftings. Provide for schooling, for instance. Direction. You should direct your child into his or her God-given calling. You should pray to see to the spiritual realm to see what their calling is. Role modeling. You should model a father's role for your child, both boys and girls. Boys, so they can be good fathers when they grow up, and girls, so they can recognize a potential good father when seeking a spouse. Correction. You should discipline your child through godly correction. Now, fathers here have probably fallen short on some of these. I know I have. Anybody else? No one has ever been a perfect father. Let me say that again. No one has ever been a perfect father. Sometimes we can't be there for our children because they refuse to receive us. That's the situation with some fathers. But you know what? We can always pray for them, even if they're refusing to receive us. Your father probably fell short on some of these or all of them, or you may have never had a father. Maybe he left or died. But the importance of fathers in a child's life is monumental. I learned this years ago. My parents were visiting us. It was sometime after I'd become a believer. I was well into my 30s, and I thought God had dealt with my sensitivity to criticism and pride. You know, the expression was, you know, I only seek the praises of God, right? So on this particular day, we were standing on the deck of the pool we had at the time in our backyard, and my father looked up at the gutters on our house and looked at a repair I had made on one of the gutters, and he started to criticize it, saying my attempted repair would not work and I needed to just tear it down and put up a new gutter. And I found myself feeling devastated, ashamed, and angry at him. And it was so much that I literally dove in the pool to just get away so I wouldn't respond with saying something I would regret. And I thought I was over all that. I thought I'd humbled myself before the Lord and I wasn't seeking the praises of men. But then I realized something. This was not just a man. This was my father. I would not have felt that way with any other person but just my father. My peace, my shalom was just destroyed. And that incident revealed to me that I still had a need for my father's approval. And I did have to replace the gutter. Another thing I read about that happened to show the importance of fathers is that Mother's Day was coming up in a prison. And somebody who was ministering in that prison decided to make Mother's Day cards and give them out to all of the male prisoners there. And so they could send Mother's Day cards to their prison. Everybody took a Mother's Day card. They ran out of cards. So they thought, oh, this is great. Father's Day is coming up. We'll make more cards, and we'll give them out to everybody in the prison, and they'll send them to their fathers. Know what happened? No one took a Father's Day card. Why? People in prison. Why were they in prison? Issues with their father. Failures of their father. They were in prison for that. So let's take a moment here, those of us who are fathers, and let's let's take a moment here and repent of how we've fallen short and ask God to show us how to do better, make up for the things that we failed. So, Father, we as fathers here, including myself, we ask your forgiveness for the ways we've fallen short and the ways in which we have failed our children. We ask that you would show us how to do better. We ask that you would make up for the ways in which we have failed. And we ask that you would turn the hearts of our children back to us if they've become estranged from us, which I'm sure there are some in this room. And we also pray, Father, that you would make us fathers to spiritual children, people younger than us in the Lord whom we can help in their walk and who we can be role models to and impart wisdom to and bring correction and encouragement to. And we thank you, Lord, that that is part of your plan in Yeshua's name. Amen. So what problems are caused by fathers failing to fulfill that long list of roles that I mentioned earlier? Well, men, some of you men, may not know how to be a godly father to your children because your father did not model godly fathering to you, right? How are you going to learn how to do that? And women, you may be afraid to submit to your husband's authority because your father was not a godly authority figure in your home. Can you see how that works? You may have not found your gifting because your earthly father did not make an opportunity for you to get the schooling you need, the training you need for that gifting. You may have made foolish decisions because your earthly father didn't teach you godly wisdom. You may not be able to receive correction because your earthly father did not discipline you or did it cruelly. And if so, if you can't receive correction, that's a big hindrance in your spiritual walk. You may struggle with insecurity, fear, because your earthly father didn't protect you. You could worry about the future because your earthly father did not provide financially for you. You may struggle with feelings of rejection because your earthly father didn't accept you. You may not like yourself as an adult. You may suffer from self-hatred or self-rejection because your father rejected you, put you down, criticized you all the time. You may struggle with addictions because that's how your father dealt with life when it became difficult. Or you may have a bad temper because that's how your father dealt with people in situations that were hard for him. You may have a hard time forgiving because your father had a hard time forgiving. And these dysfunctions, these issues can make your life miserable and dysfunctional. There are also many chronic, incurable diseases that are caused, that are rooted in the issues that I've just called out here. Dysfunctional fathering can be the root of spiritual roots of diseases. We've been studying these spiritual roots for several years now, and a foundational verse for that is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. It says this: a tranquil heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bone. So what kind of a thinking or a heart produces life and health for the body? Peaceful. Other translations say secure, loved, grateful, joyful, humble. And what kind of thinking produces rotten bones? Envy in this case. But what diseases that you know of are the result of rotten bones? Anybody know? Arthritis, osteoarthritis is their bones begin to rot. Joint problems. What are some other thoughts that are toxic, defiling, and are therefore the roots of these diseases? Well, fearful thoughts. Our language has 4,000 different words for different kinds of fear: stress, anxiety, worry, tension, nervousness. Bitter thoughts, unforgiveness, resentment, anger, hatred, retaliation, and also, like this verse said, envy, jealousy, rejection, lust, greed, self-hatred, pride, idolatry, rebellion. Medical research has concluded that 80% of all incurable diseases and emotional diseases have one of these things as a root, a spiritual root. And I think we can all relate to examples. I mean, it's kind of common knowledge that because when everybody goes to the doctor with high blood pressure, what do they tell you? Get rid of the stress in your life, right? Stress causes high blood pressure. And recently, I've seen some very interesting studies about unforgiveness causes cancer. So we know that these things are very serious. Now, thoughts and feelings and attitudes can be separated into two categories. There are thoughts that we have discovered by brain mapping, which is a modern science now, that there are thoughts that cause our brains to trigger secretions in our body that are good for our health. And there are toxic thoughts that cause our brain to trigger secretions that are harmful to our health, that we like to call defiling thoughts. So if you have experienced some of these problems that I've thrown out here. Everybody's real quiet. Let me say something to you. You are not alone. Many people in our culture struggle with these and other issues because of the breakup of family structure in our culture today. An increasing number of these problems are caused by fathers who have fallen short. So what can be done to recover from the failings of your father? I mean, he might be dead by now, right? What can you do? Or he might be, you know, unwilling to change at all. Well, I have some good news. There is an incredibly wonderful solution to this widespread problem. It's an integral part of God's plan for you. If your father fell short, as most of our fathers did, and as I'm sure I did, the Bible teaches extensively there is a way for making up for your lack, for what you lack there. You ready for it? It's real simple. God himself will be a father to you. He will be all the father that you need, enriching your life in all the ways I listed earlier. And there are so many passages that speak of this that God wants us to receive. Let's just look at one. Psalm 68, verse 6. Speaking of the Lord, a father of orphans, defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. So this term, God as father, it's an analogy. It's saying God is like a father. It's so prominent in the Bible. Everybody agree? It's so strong in the Bible. And you know, some think it's a new covenant concept. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10, this is where it first appears. This is David, King David. David blessed Adonai, the Lord, before the whole congregation, saying, "Blessed are you, Adonai, God of Israel, our Father, from eternity to eternity." So David called God our Father way before Yeshua. And when God instructed Aaron to bless people with the Aaronic benediction that I just did and that Shea blesses us with every week, listen to what he says just before it, Numbers chapter 6, or just after it, verse 27. "In this way they are to place my name over Bnei Israel, the sons of Israel, and so I will bless them." Now we just sort of take that for granted, but what does that mean? Putting his name on you means you are his adopted child. Everybody see that? When you are adopted by a father, what happens? Your name becomes his name. So he's saying here that he is making you his child, and he gives this blessing so that we would receive that. Now, in the New Covenant, the Bible uses the phrase born again from above to describe what happens when a person commits to trusting in Yeshua and his sacrifice and to following God. And the primary and very valid understanding of that analogy of being born again from above is that life is so different as a believer that it seems like you've been born into a new life, right? Everybody see it that way? That's how it was for me. But there's a further understanding to that analogy. When you were born again from above, you were not born into an orphanage. Do you know that? You were born into a family, God's family. You became, listen to what he says, Yeshua says in John chapter 1, verse 12, one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. "But to as many as did receive him," him being who? Yeshua, the Messiah. "To those who put their trust in his person and power," look, let's read together what he did. "He gave the right to become children of God." So if you have trusted in his person and power, which I trust almost all of you have, you are adopted into God's family. He is your adopted father. And there's something special about adopted father. I mean, you know, a natural father has you probably because they wanted to have kids, but he didn't pick you, you know. You just were born, and he loves you because you were born. He saw you grow up and raised you. If you adopt someone, and I don't know if anybody here is, I know there's some people who have been adopted or have ever adopted somebody, but you know, the adopted child comes and meets the parents, and the parents decide, do we want to take this child in? In other words, they approve of this child and say, we want you to be our child. So that's what it's like between you and God. God has, it's not that God didn't know you. He knew you before he adopted you, but when you put your trust in him, he adopted you into his family, and he became your father. So Another way of bringing this out is Jewish liturgy. It often uses the phrase, and you'll all recognize it, Avinu Machenu, in the song. Avinu is our Father, our King, is what that says. Now, it's important to understand here also that it's not my Father, it's our Father, because he's the father of a family. We are born into a family. We're not just the only one in the family. So the Bible is full of this analogy and this instruction that we should see God as our Father. But why do people struggle with this? Because many people do struggle with it. So I'm going to give you four reasons, and maybe one of these is one of yours. There's probably more reasons. But first of all, in addition to receiving the Lord, Rabbi Shaul gives another requirement to be children of God. Anybody know what that is? It's right up there. Romans 8:14. All who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters. So to experience God as your Father, you must receive Yeshua, and what else? You must be led by the Spirit. And what does that mean? That means you must submit yourself to the guidance of the Holy Spirit and learn to be led. This is a lifelong project, to learn to be led of the Spirit, but it begins with a decision to follow the leading of the Spirit. And once you begin to follow the leading of the Spirit, you may miss at times, but you qualify. You qualify right here as sons and daughters of God because you are seeking to be led by the Spirit. Number two, you may struggle in having a fatherly relationship with God or a childlike relationship with God, because when you read that God loves you as a father, you can only see that as a good thing if your earthly father's love was a blessing to you. If your relationship with your earthly father has not been good because of how your earthly father fell short, you will struggle with receiving love from your heavenly father. And actually, you'll struggle from receiving love from anyone in an authority role over you, because you can't relate to someone who is an authority over you loving you, to someone whose job it is to tell you what to do, to correct you, and things like that. You can't relate to that person actually loving you because they're telling you to do things that you don't want to do. Anybody follow that? So it's very hard, unless you had a father who really demonstrated godly fathering, to be able to submit to God as a heavenly father. Number three, you may struggle with relating to God as a father because your early religious teaching may have taught you that God is mean. He's always angry, and he's ready to punish you, and he's always frowning. And if that's true of you, it makes sense to avoid having an intimate relationship with him. It's scary. But I think by now you've probably learned that you may have been raised that way, but it's all lies. It's not what the Bible says. It's what Satan wants you to believe. He wants you to be afraid of God, to separate you from him. The truth is, God loves you unconditionally, even when you mess up. So I'm just going to read to you one of the most beautiful descriptions of God in the Bible. It's one of my favorite psalms because there's other great things in this psalm. Psalm 103. I'm going to start with verse 8. Adonai, the Lord, is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and plentiful in mercy. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not treated us according to our sins, or repaid us according to our iniquities. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy for those who fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east, you see, the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so Adonai has compassion on those who fear him. Verse 17, but the mercy of Adonai is from everlasting to everlasting on those who revere him, his righteousness to children's children. Verse 18, to those who keep his covenant, who remember to observe his instructions. So that's the description of your Heavenly Father. And the thing that I just pray that all of you will grasp here today is that all human fathers will fail because they are human. There is no one who can be a perfect father here or anywhere. All human fathers will fail you, but the Lord can be and is a perfect father. He is a perfect father, and he can be your father. Number four, you may struggle with relating to God as a father because some have made Yeshua the head of the Godhead instead of the Father. Now, Yeshua, I love Yeshua. He's wonderful. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's awesome. Okay? But if all your focus is on Yeshua, you may tend to ignore the Father aspect of God. So let's look at a few things that Yeshua said about the Father. He said they are one, but there is still an order in the Godhead. John chapter 14, 28 says this, I am going to the Father. Let's read the rest of it together. Because the Father is greater than I. That's Yeshua saying that, not me, okay? How important was the Father to what Yeshua accomplished? That same chapter, John 14, verse 24, the word you are hearing that Yeshua was speaking is not my own, but that of the Father who sent me. He's speaking the Father's words. And then in chapter 5 and verse 19, therefore Yeshua said this to them, yes, indeed, I tell you that the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does too. So Yeshua did your Heavenly Father's deeds. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says this, he is the visible image of the invisible God. That's the Father. Yeshua is the image of the Father. And John 14, verse 7, because you have known me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him. In fact, you have seen him. So this is a mystery. Yeshua is saying, I am revealing the Father to you. He came to show us the Father, to enable you to personally know the Father, to reveal the Father's character to you, his faithfulness, his wisdom, his love, his patience. And of course, he demonstrated that character by the greatest act of love that has ever been done, by going to the cross and sacrificing his life for every one of us, including you. And then in John chapter 16, verse 23, he says this, Yeshua says, when that day comes, you won't ask anything of me. Yes, I did and tell you, indeed, I tell you that whatever you ask from the Father, he will give you in my name. So what's Yeshua doing here? He's giving us prayer instruction. You see that? And what is he saying? Don't pray to me. Pray to who? Pray to the Father in my name. And then a couple of verses later, verse 26, when that day comes, you will ask in my name. I am not telling you that I will pray to the Father on your behalf. Verse 27, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. So he's saying, don't pray to me and ask me to pray to the Father. Follow that? He's saying, you go to the Father directly because you've loved me and the Father loves you. And then in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, which I'm sure you all know, therefore pray in this way. Let's read it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So Yeshua tells us we're supposed to start our prayers with our Father. Now, why? Why is all this? Very simple. God wants you to relate to him as his child, as your father. That's why it's there. Do you see it? It's all through there. And the first step in this is to get you to be addressing the Father as a father, praying to him as your father. Your Abba is how you say it in Hebrew. Your dad is what that means. Now, also, notice again in the Lord's Prayer there, why our and not my Father? Because he wants us to be aware that we're part of a family who can support us and whom we have to look out for. Now, before anyone becomes legalistic and begins correcting people for praying to Yeshua, Yeshua also said this in John 14, verse 14, you ask me for something in my name, I will do it. Now, if you've got a Greek mind, you're going to say, that's a contradiction. Okay, and I can't handle that. But a Hebraic mind says, okay, both ways. But the counsel of Scripture, the overwhelming counsel of Scripture, is that we should pray to the Father. Everybody see that? There were many verses that say, our Father, pray to the Father. So it's okay to pray to Yeshua, but really, most of the time, we should be praying to the Father. So that's how we're supposed to pray. But how else does your Heavenly Father want you to come to Him? Well, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, He says this: "Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne from which God gives grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need." Other translations say boldly, reverently, but not out of shame or guilt or fear, like where you're really afraid of something, because that word gets confused in English. You know, it says to have the fear of God. It's not like the fear that somebody's going to harm you. It's reverence is what that means. And religious spirits have taught us that we are supposed to have our lives all cleaned up before we can come to Him. But the reality is just the opposite. He's what we could call the holy janitor. He's the only one who can clean up your life. You can't clean up your life. So you have to come to Him. If you think you've got to clean up your life before you can come to Him, you can't come to Him. Because as long as you're doing that, that's pride. You're thinking you can solve everything yourself. You have to come to Him with an attitude of, I can't handle this. I can't clean this up. Only You can. So what does boldly look like? That verse in Hebrews there, you know, confidently, boldly. Well, this is a little hard to handle. Luke chapter 18, verse 17. This is Yeshua talking again. "Yes, I tell you that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will not enter at all." So more than calling Him Father, God's will is that you come to Him as a child would come to their earthly father. Not arrogantly, like, "Here I am, God, do this for me." Like a child who comes to his earthly father knowing you are so loved that you can interrupt Him. Did you know you can interrupt God? Yeah. He never says, "Oh, sorry, I'm busy." Right? Well, that's because He's God. Knowing that your needs are important to your Father, and knowing that you can come with dirty hands, you could come with a guilty conscience, you could come with all of your baggage to Him. And He wants you to come boldly because He loves you. So we're going to pray for each of us to receive what God is trying to say here, that He wants us to see Him as our Father. Now, I know there are many of you who already have grasped that. What were you saying, Ethel? You have a song that fits this? Okay. We will do a song at the end, too. So we are going to pray for those of you who have not really received this to receive it, but we're also going to pray for those of you who have received it, and I know many of you have walked in some level of this, to walk in a greater experience of the power of living every day as if you are a child of God, as if He is your Father. And before we pray, just want to connect one thing up to the kind of the beginning of what we talked about here at the end, because I know this may be a problem for some of you. The key to experiencing God as your Father is to forgive your earthly father. So if your earthly father is someone who did things to you that have been an issue, we're going to pray for you to forgive your earthly father, because that's a real block for his intentional failures and his unintentional failures. So let's pray. So Father, first of all, we come before you right now, and those of us who have had a father who has fallen short, and that may be all of us, who has fallen short in some way, we just want to cleanse ourselves by forgiving our earthly father right now. So Father, we state we forgive our earthly father. I forgive my father. And you just say that to your father. Father, I forgive you, earthly father. I forgive you. I just recognize if there's any unforgiveness in me, any anger or resentment or hatred toward my earthly father, any bitterness, I repent of it in the name of Yeshua, and I forgive. And Father, we just come before you right now, and we recognize that our Father was probably trying to do his best. He was human, and Satan may have been working in him to harm me and my siblings and my mother, but we forgive right now, our Earthly Father. And we just renounce any spirits of unforgiveness and anger and resentment that might have gotten a hold on us because of that conflict with our fathers. And we renounce those spirits right now, and we command their power to be broken over us right now. Spirits of unforgiveness and anger and resentment and hatred toward our Earthly Father, we command those spirits to be broken. We command any bitterness toward our Earthly Fathers to be broken right now. And we recognize also other spirits that might have gained power over us because of our relationship with our Father, spirits of insecurity or fear or worry about the future, spirits of rejection, self-rejection, hatred, critical spirits, rebellious spirits, pride, addictions, spirit of abandonment, spirit of abuse, spirit of legalism, spirit of lust, greed, and poverty. Any other spirits that might have gained access through this relationship, we just take authority over those, and we break their power right now over those spirits. In the name of Yeshua, we repent of cooperating, going along with any of those spirits I just named, and we break their power over us in the name of Yeshua. And Father, we understand that some of these things can bring physical ailments on us. So I pray right now for healing for any diseases or afflictions that have the root in a dysfunctional relationship with our Earthly Fathers. I ask you to just reveal that and touch us and heal us, Father. And now, Father, we repent and renounce all the lies we've believed about our Heavenly Father. We renounce the lie that he's mean, cruel, uncaring, critical, that he'll reject us, that he expects perfection, that we have to clean up our act before we can come and experience his love. We renounce those spirits and command their power in our lives to be broken in the name of Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua. And then, Father, we ask that you reveal yourself to us as Abba, Dad, my Heavenly Father. Just hold up your hands to him and say, Lord, give me a greater revelation. Cause me to walk in a greater awareness of your Father's love for me, that you love me as the perfect Father loves his child. Thank you, Lord. And now the Spirit directed me to say something here, because I know there's many people who have never heard their Father say, their Earthly Father say, I love you. So God wants me to say this to you as your Heavenly Father. So if you can receive this, I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say it in a few languages here. But I'm going to say to each one of you, my child, this is, consider this to be a prophetic statement. It's very simple. My child, I, the Lord, love you. Can you receive that? I love you. In Hebrew, ani ohev otach to the men. Ani ohevet orcha to the women. And in Espanol, te amo. Te amo. Te amo. God is saying, receive my love. Let it be the source of love in your life. Let it be the love that flows in from me. Let it be the love that flows out to others. Let it be your source of strength. Let it be the rock on which you stand, the foundation of your life that you're rooted into. Do not doubt that I, the Lord, love you. I love you. And Father, I just pray that these would not just be momentary things or emotional or something like that, but that all of us, including myself, would go from here today, or all the people who hear this online or see it, would go from hearing it and seeing it to walking in it, that we would be walking in the power of your love, not just love, but your Father's love for us. In Yeshua's awesome name, amen.